Good morning, people of God. Having listened to the hymn, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord," I want to encourage you to enter into that stillness, the stillness that the Holy Lord is inviting you into, and know with certainty that the Holy God is aware of you. Let us listen now to our opening prayer by Abby Swartz.
Let us pray. Father God, we come before you today to glorify your holy, wondrous name. Lord, we know that you are our provider, our healer, our strength, and our shield, especially in these unprecedented times. Lord, we recall and remember your word that says, "Where two or more are gathered in your name, you are present." And Lord, we are comforted in this knowledge that even though this is a virtual gathering, we are indeed gathered in your name and welcome your presence and your Holy Spirit into each and every one of our lives today during this time of worship. Lord, we pray for your hand to be on our country, on our church, and each and every family that belongs to our church. We pray for your healing hand to be upon those affected by COVID, Lord. And we pray for your divine protection upon each of us as we navigate this time, especially our most vulnerable in our communities and our elderly. We pray also for those who have had their livelihoods affected by COVID, but we also take comfort in knowing, Lord, that you are our provider and that even in times like these, know that we can rejoice because we belong to you. And in belonging to you, we are your children, and your plans are to give us a hope and a future. Lord, we also take this time to lift up Auntie Christine's family, her friends, colleagues, and fellow choir members. Lord, we pray for your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, and your comfort to enfold them as they come to terms with this loss. Lord, please open our hearts and minds to receive your message delivered through your servant, Reverend Heidi, today. Please also lead us into the action required to do your will. Lord, make us your hands and feet as we spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, Lord, be acceptable in your eyes. You are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. I love invitations. I love the effort people put into making them, designing them, and ultimately giving them to the people that they're inviting to whatever big day they're celebrating. But you must agree with me that invitations have evolved. Ordinary paper to fancy, from paper to glass, from glass to hood. And of late, we have electronic invitations with the most beautiful journeys depicting significant moments in the lives of the couple. The one thing that I can't get used to is the fact that we now need to send an invitation to family, friends, to come and attend with the family who has lost a loved one due to death. All of this because of the COVID-19 regulations. How life has changed. But today I want to invite you to consider with me the invitations of Jesus as recorded in the Gospels. The first invitation is the invitation by Jesus to transforming solitude. You may ask the question now, how exactly do we respond to the invitation of Jesus? Firstly, we need to open them, recognize and understand what Jesus' invitations actually are. Secondly, we need to explore the invitations as fully and as carefully as we can. For example, ask the questions, what does it tell us about God? Or how do they relate to our everyday lives and our relationships? Or is there anything we are asked to do by God? Thirdly, we need to respond. I'm praying that for every invitation we will explore together, hopefully after your own consideration, it will be a yes, Lord, I accept your invitation. In a particular year at the university where I studied Rhodes in Grahamstown, the entire campus of the theology faculty was instructed to attend a silent retreat for 1 week. Can you imagine knowing me? Absolute silence for 1 week. The purpose was to study the word, to dwell in it, to pray, to come away hopefully changed or charged or challenged or all of the above. This invitation to transforming solitude, friends, is intrinsically rooted in the life of Jesus. When you read the Gospels, you will notice certain things about the life of Jesus. You will certainly notice that he was a man of action, for example, continuously on the go, proclaiming the reign of God, teaching, healing people, feeding the hungry, confronting the religious authorities when their teachings was in contradiction with what he believed. And the list goes on. But equally so, you will notice that many moments of solitude and silence undergird Jesus' active life. His entire life is punctuated by these empty spaces. If you turn with me to the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1, verse 12, the verse reads, "At once, the same Spirit pushed Jesus out into the wild." Or, "At once, this Spirit pushed Jesus into the wilderness." Friends, later in the same chapter, it gives us a detailed description of a day in the life of our Lord Jesus. After a full day's ministry, Jesus rises early the next morning to go to a solitary place. His intention to pray. If you wish to reflect on this reading, you will find it in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 35 to 39, respectively. Furthermore, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus calls a few friends together to go to a quiet place and rest. The invitation from Mark's gospel is clear. Firstly, if we are going to be followers of Christ. Secondly, if we are going to walk in his way and be formed by him, then we need to receive, we need to open, and we need to explore Jesus' invitation to transforming solitude. Trevor Hudson says, "We must learn to retreat in order to advance." I wish to share with you one of the gifts, the transforming gifts that comes in the moments of silence and solitude that we find in quiet. The first gift is not being alone. Friends, we discover in solitude is the knowledge that we are not alone. And you and I know that loneliness manifests itself in different ways. For example, the loneliness of losing someone you love. Secondly, of going through a divorce. Thirdly, a friendship that has broken up. Fourthly, the loneliness of leadership or when you are in a particular position of responsibility. We all carry loneliness of some kind, and we experience this loneliness whether we are young or old, male or female, rich or poor. An example of that is quite meaningful. If we reflect on the story of Elijah that defeats the prophets of Baal, calls down fire from heaven, etc., the same Elijah collapses in despair because of Jezebel's threat to destroy him. Friends, Elijah takes refuge under a broom tree where he falls asleep only to be awakened by an angel who brings him food and drink. For the rest of the days, all Elijah does is eat and drink and sleep. And only after fully resting Elijah is renewed and prepared for his encounter with God. When he meets with God on the mountain, he pours out his heart to God. He shares his pain and his disappointment. And he noticed that after he had poured out his heart, he was recommissioned by God to participate in God's work in the world. Friends, from many conversations with people who live alone or experience loneliness, it has often been said to me that it's the deepest kind of suffering in our world. I can't imagine the loneliness of the three-year-old that was killed. I can't think of her anguish in her last hour of her life before she was killed. But I want to believe and rest in the knowledge that she too was not alone. Friends, when we enter into solitude, we must do so with a simple trust that the one who calls us into the solitude will meet us in that particular moment. God will not leave us alone. In silence, you will hear the divine voice say to you, "You, son, you daughter, you are my beloved, you are mine." We've noticed that this has happened for many of Christ's followers, and I want to believe that it can happen for us. You and I also need a restful place, a broom tree under which we can sit and just be. Be present to the moment. Be present to what is happening around us. Be present to our own hearts. Be present to the heart of God. A place where we can pour out our heart to God. A place where we can hear God speak his own words to each one of us. And I know that God has a word in season for each one of us, especially for a time such as this. Friends, this is my prayer for you, that you will know at a time such as this that you are never alone. Take time to open, explore and respond to the invitation of Jesus to transforming solitude. Be still and know that the Holy One is present to you. I pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. People of God, I conclude with words by Mother Teresa of Calcutta. We need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is a friend of silence. See our nature, trees, flowers, grass grow in silence. See the stars, the moon, the sun, how they move in silence. Is not our mission to give God to the poor, not a dead God, but a living, loving God? The more we receive in silent prayer, the more we can give in our active life. We need silence to be able to touch souls. The essential thing is not what we say, but what God says to us and through us. All our words will be useless unless they come from within. Words which do not give the light of Christ increase the darkness. Amen. Our benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us, now and forever. Amen.